Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. Okay, today we're going to wrap up part one, first module, we'll call it, of options. We're going to learn about buying puts, long puts, either for speculation or for hedging protection, protective puts. And we're also going to learn about a long straddle where you would buy a call and a put on the same stock. So we'll talk about that. That's known as a long straddle. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And then what I'll do is I'm going to do a few sessions coming up on personal finance, and then we'll return to module two of options, where I will talk about where you are the creator of options. You're the ones writing the options. People are paying you for the privilege. You'd be writing call contracts where you're giving somebody else pays you for the right to buy your stock away from you, and also writing put contracts where somebody's paying you for the ability to sell their stock to you at a future date at a guaranteed price. So we'll learn about those, and that'll be coming up in part two, all right, probably a few sessions from now, but we'll learn about the long puts today and long straddles. All right. Before we get to that, we'll talk here in a few minutes about Disney versus Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. This is just becoming a bigger and bigger mess, but we'll see what's going on there. Let's see. Before we get to that and options, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about that big port in China that was shut down to a single COVID case. It is the world's third largest port. Well, it did reopen, looks like today. It's across the harbor from Shanghai, China's largest city. What was shut down specifically was the Meishan Terminal there at the Ningbo Zhoushan port. Anyway, it is reopened, but here's the thing. There's a massive backlog right now in shipping. Things are piled up on docks. There's not enough semi-truck drivers to move things around the United States. You may be noticing stores are running out of things. I mean, we got the basic items available, food and that kind of stuff, but they're running out of all kinds of things now, electronics, furniture, musical instruments, you name it. Stores are simply running out of things. And this is becoming a concern now. It's more a shipping issue than anything else because we've got Christmas season coming up, the holidays, and may find a lot of things, everything from toys to holiday decorations may not be as readily available. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on here. But the port is up and running, but apparently there's just a massive backlog of it being shut down for 2 weeks. There was a backlog anyway. It's gotten even worse. All right, moving on. Dick's Sporting Goods reported blowout sales and profit numbers. Now, this is following a trend we saw the other day with Foot Locker. You know, bottom line, it doesn't take too much to figure this out. With people at home now, they're spending more money on exercise type stuff, everything from exercise equipment to running shoes. And also, you know, with COVID, people are more outdoors doing stuff. Like I happen to live near a bike trail. And I you know, when I do go out on it, I see more people on there than I used to see. I guess people figure, well, it's a safe activity, which it is. So anyway, here's the thing. Dick's and other retailers have been reporting really good numbers recently. It's not just an increase in sales. Consumers have some pent-up demand. They're also getting bigger profit margins. What I mean by that, for every dollar of sales, they're generating higher profits than they did. And what they seem to have done is, I saw an article that says retailers have cracked the code of driving up profits. What they have figured out is how to be more profit efficient with e-commerce. Instead of shipping items from warehouses, they're shipping them directly from stores. So you order an item from Dick's or anybody else, they're shipping it from whatever the nearest store to you is that has it. And so they can save a lot of money on shipping that way. Also, they are encourage people that you want to come just drive up to our curbside. We'll bring it out to you. Well, that saves on shipping. A lot of people like to do that, apparently. And it's also helping with some inventory management. There's just lots of things that's going on. So keep an eye on retailers in general going forward. They may have come up with a way to be more profit efficient, and that is going to be reflecting in their stock prices over time. All right, so we got that going on. Let's see. Let's go talk about Disney and Black Widow here. All right, so just I've talked about this a few times before. We had the Black Widow movie that was released, you know, the 24th movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And usually that would be a theater-only movie. It would be like one of the events of the year. Well, Disney released it not only in theaters, but also on a Disney Plus, the streaming service, where you paid $30 for the rights to watch it at home. Okay. Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney. You know, Black Widow, she is saying that she was promised a cut of box office, and the fact that Disney released it on Disney Plus cut into her earnings. All right, so Disney fired right back. So this has become a big mess. All right, so here's what we got here. I'm looking at an article that says Disney wants to move Scarlett Johansson's lawsuit behind closed doors. Her lawyers want an open court. Disney wants it, what's known as arbitration. You sit in like a lawyer's office and you work it out. Yeah, like, you know, divorce court, I guess. Scarlett Johansson's lawyers, they want it in front of a jury. See, for pretty obvious reasons, a jury will usually sympathize more with an individual they can relate to, whether it's a famous person or not, versus a thing, a company. So Disney is fighting that. So, all right, here's what they're saying back and forth to each other. Okay, let's see. Says here, Scarlett Johansson's lawyers want their day in court. All right, so let's see here. They're saying that Disney is trying to hide its misconduct in a confidential arbitration. Her lawyers are saying, why is Disney so afraid of litigating this case in public? That's a quote from them. Disney had a counterfiling. They are saying that Periwinkle, the company representing Johansson, agreed that all claims arising out of and in connection to Johansson's Black Widow work would be submitted to confidential binding arbitration in New York. Disney is also saying that they are contesting that Marvel Studios that Disney owns was not named as a party in the lawsuit, suggesting that Johansson's lawyers are using gamesmanship to generate publicity by targeting Disney itself. They are saying had Marvel been named, the complaint would automatically have gone to private arbitration. What Disney is saying is that, look, we did give this wide release. They said her contract stated the movie would be out in at least 1,500 screens in, you know, theaters. Disney is saying, quote from Disney's lawsuit or counterfiling, there's nothing in the agreement requiring that a wide theatrical release also be an exclusive theatrical release. All right. It's going back and forth. Scarlett Johansson signed a contract, I guess 2018 or something, before we had streaming. Obviously, nobody predicted a pandemic. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on here. It's going back and forth, back and forth. You know, if it does go to trial, my guess is Disney's lawyers would probably take the approach of, look, our Disney stock is owned by all these little grandmothers and all these individuals, and we're trying to protect their rights against this big this overpaid movie star who made $20 million from the movie. It thinks, well, that's apparently not enough for her. How about you, jury? Would $20 million be enough for you? Yeah, and they're like, yeah, well, not for her, apparently. See, that's going to probably be their approach, try to make her a bad person. But then the jury could sit there, yeah, but she's Black Widow. I mean, I like her in the Avengers. So anyway, we'll have to see what happens there. All right, so that got that going on. All right, so let's talk about put option contracts. Just a review, option contracts are a financial contract that gives you the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell 100 shares of the underlying stock at a guaranteed price for a guaranteed period of time. Okay. Now, I mentioned that a call contract, if you own a call contract, you have the ability to buy 100 shares of, say, I'm going to use Disney as the example. This is what I used in the past. Disney stock at a guaranteed price for a guaranteed period of time. So you're hoping the stock goes up. So you can buy it at a lower price and then theoretically sell it at a higher price. Although option contracts, when they expire, if there's intrinsic value, it has worth. You just get the difference. You don't have to buy the stock. It's just taken care of by the exchange and so forth, settlement. All right. But call contracts give you the right to buy a stock at a guaranteed price. You're hoping it'll go up. What a put contract is, you make money from a stock going down. You have the guarantee, you have the right, but not the obligation to sell the stock at a guaranteed price. All right. So the main thing to remember right now, you buy calls when you think the stock's going to go up. You buy puts if you think the stock is going to go down. So let's take a look. We're going to use Disney again since I used that in the last sessions. And then when I get to module two about writing options, I'll pick a different company. All right. I mentioned you can get option quotes a lot of places, just Google options quotes. But the Chicago Board Options Exchange is pretty good. CBOE.com, Chicago Board Options Exchange, CBOE. All right. So what you do, and there's good educational information on this site I mentioned. You go to data, D-A-T-A, you click on that. Then you click on quotes, quote dashboard, okay? Then you enter the symbol for Disney, D-I-S, and there's a symbol lookup function if you don't know the name, symbol of the stock, okay? And then hit enter, okay? And then underneath that, you have several options, choices, we'll say. You choose the one that says options, all right? So what it does, it brings up what's called an options chain, calls and puts. I went over the detailed quotes on the last session. I'll do it again on a future session, but for now, all right. So let's say, first of all, you can buy puts for two reasons. One is to protect stock you already own, and the other is just to speculate on it going down. All right, say you own 100 shares of Disney and you bought it today. Let's see, it finished at $178.30 a share. Let's say you bought it at $178, 100 shares. So that's a $17,800 investment. All right. Here's the thing, though. You're about to take a vacation. You're going to go off to the cabin somewhere, no electronics, and you're going to just, you and your family are going to just get away from things and chill out. You got a almost $18,000 investment here. Last thing you want to do is come home in 2 weeks and find out the stock is sitting at $100 a share. You know, you just lost $8,000 of an $18,000 investment. All right. So what you could do is buy some insurance for yourself. Options expire every week. So the further out you're holding the option, the right to buy or sell something, the more it's going to cost. So let's say you decide to look at, they expire every Friday, September 17th. Okay, so you bought this. You bought the stock at $178. Let's say that you might be willing. We'll take, how big a loss would you be willing to take here? Let's see. You'd be willing to take an $8 share loss down to $170, say. Okay, you don't want to do that, but you know. If you have to, you will. All right, an $18,000 or so investment, I'll take an $800 loss, worst case. So what you do is you look for a put contract that has what's known as a strike price of 170 that expires on September 17th. And I'm looking at the price right now. The ask, the buying price is 1.03. You multiply that by the underlying 100 shares in the contract. That would cost you $103. So for $103, you've got some peace of mind. If you come back from vacation in 2 weeks, say September like 10th or 11th, whatever, and that stock's sitting at $110 a share, say, your contract says you can sell it for $170. See? So you're guaranteed. Your maximum loss there would be $8 plus the $103 you paid for the contract. Remember that too. So $903. Now, as with any insurance, you hope you'll never have to use it. Insurance is one of the few things you buy that you hope you'll never use. So what if the stock just starts going up? Well, great. You don't have to sell it at 170. That was your right option. It's your option. So if the stock keeps going up, well, the option contract would simply expire. I mean, you're out your $103, but you had bought some peace of mind, see? So that's the beauty of buying protective puts. But the thing is, if the stock goes down to 173, by February 17th, well, it's not worth using an option contract to sell it at 170. You could sell it 173 in the open market. So the option again would expire worthless. But anyway, all right, so that's called a protective put. Now, what a speculative put is, you don't own the stock. You just happen to think Disney's going to go down in price, okay? So, again, you buy this same contract for $103, and let's say you're right. Disney goes down to $165, down $13 from where it is now. Okay, and it's getting to its expiration date. So here's what happens on expiration date. The options exchange, which traders, they just give you the difference and deposit it in your account. They don't make you go out and buy the stock and then resell it. So if you own 170 strike price put, you can sell it at 170, and the stock is down to 165, that has what's known as a $5 per share intrinsic value. It's got value of $5 a share. You could sell it, theoretically, buy the stock at 165, sell at 170. But they don't make you do that. They would just give you the $5 times 100 shares. $500 would be deposited in your account. So basically, you've got a stock that went down $13 a share from 178 to 165. But your investment just went from $103 to $500 in 3 weeks. I mean, that is a massively big return. So see, options can do that. Like in call contracts, you buy the right to buy the stock. It starts going up. You could magnify your gains quickly. So a few hundred dollars, you know, $103 becomes $500. And if you do it again with another contract, that $5 becomes $2,500. And up and up it goes. Well, if it was that easy, but the problem is, what if the stock doesn't go down that far? It goes down, but not to 170, or it starts going up. Well, you lose your $103, see? So basically, to summarize, you buy call contracts when you think the stock is going to go up. You buy put contracts when you think the stock is going to go down. What if you're not sure which way the stock is going to go, but you just think it's going to move, you know, with all the news on COVID out there and everything else? Well, what you could do is buy a call and a put. All right, so you make money either, whichever way it goes, one or the other's got some value to it. So the stock is at $178 a share. We'll just round off, say that's where it is. Let's look for something at a strike price right near the current price. Here it is, $177.50. And I'm still looking at September 17th option contracts. All right. So how much would a call contract be worth, cost you? That gives you the right to buy 100 shares of Disney stock at $177.50. All right. So it's already got a 50-cent intrinsic value in it since the stock's at 178. Let's see. The asking price, which is buying price, is $410, 4.10. So you would pay $410 to buy a call options contract at $177.50 and a put option contract at the same strike price, $177.50. That's going to cost you $320. So it's going to cost you $730 to buy a call and a put. Now, here's the thing with that. If the stock starts going up, the call contract's going to have value, okay? But the put option, not so much. But if the stock starts going down, then the put option has value, not the call. Basically, unless the stock finishes right at $177.50, where they both expire, basically worthless, one or the other is going to have value. So it's like, great, I make money either way. It goes up, the call contract starts making me money. Goes down, the put contract starts making me money. So that's called a long straddle. You're straddling the fence. Long means you own the position. Short means you sold it. All right. So you make money either way. All right. So this sounds really easy and great, right? All right. Here's the real world situation. Long straddles rarely work. I'll tell you why. This stock is, you paid $730 for this. Bottom line, you got to get a $7 movement in this stock, one direction or the other, in the next 3 weeks. You got to get it down to about $170 a share, you know, 171, we'll say, and get it up to about 184, 185. It's 177.50 strike price. And, you know, that's a lot of movement for a stock. And if you do have a stock that is that volatile, then the prices to buy and sell the puts, buy and sell the calls and puts are going to be even higher, because option contracts have an implied volatility factor built into their prices called a Vega component, VEGA. I'll talk about all that stuff in future sessions, deltas, thetas, gammas. They got a whole bunch of them out there, Vegas. But anyway, usually long straddles don't work. The stocks don't move. You don't lose all your money. You get some money back. Like an example, if the stock finished at $180 a share, well, the put's going to be worth $250, you know, 180 minus 177.50. So you get 250 back. If the stock finishes at, say, $173 a share, well, in that case, you get $450 back, you know, 177.50 minus 173. So you're going to lose all your money on a long straddle. The only way you would is if it finished right at 177.50, and then both of them expire worthless. You are going to get some of your money back, but usually you still have a loss. It doesn't move enough. All right, so hopefully that stuff helps. If it was a little complex, I'll go over it again on future sessions, but those are called long straddles. Okay, so I hope this stuff has helped. This is Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See you, everybody.